this time. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, I wanted to continue this week talking about the Holy Week and some of the events that took place there. And I actually wanted to pick up the story pretty much where we left off last week. Jesus was in the garden. He was praying. We're in Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 to 56. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he was betraying him. He who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." And immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you have come for." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck a slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father in heaven at once to put all my to put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way?" At that time Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place to fulfill the scriptures and the prophets." Then all the disciples left and fled. You know, I'm going in a different direction with this than I had intended to go. And I think I'm going to have to read a different version of this. This story happens, this is one of those stories that happens in all four of the Gospels. I know in Matthew, and I wanted to talk about the idea of the sword. As Jesus said, those who live by the sword will perish by the sword. We've all heard that phrase. Violence begets violence. We know that. And yet we live in an age, we live in a time when that just kind of seems to be normal, unfortunately. There's just violence going on all over the place. There's war going on all over the place. And some people seem happy about it. And some people just don't care. And the rest of us are worried because we don't know what to do. The message of the gospel is definitely one of peace. And peace is much preferred, isn't it? Peace is much preferred. I don't know anybody who wants violence, but unfortunately I do. An interesting thing I learned not too long ago, in the religion of Islam, If you've heard it referred to, I'm sure you've heard it referred to as the religion of peace. Now, certainly there are bad eggs mixed up in Islam who do bad things. But you know what? There's bad people involved in Christianity as well who are doing bad things in the name of Jesus. But the word Islam means peace. It's the Arabic word. Oh, there you go. But it's the Arabic word for peace. Now, down at the jail where I work, we have this past Friday, for the very first time in a very long time, had an opportunity to have a Muslim worship service in the jail. We have this kind of weird thing going on where in order to have a service in the chapel, it needs to be scheduled well in advance, which certainly makes sense. Because you're moving people from various places in the jail down to there, and that all needs to be coordinated, and it needs to run smoothly. But one of the things they kind of stuck us with is that there needs to be an officer on duty in the chapel when we have a service. Now, we have a service. We have these services on Monday through Friday, various kinds. Catholic service on Monday, Protestant services on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and a Muslim service on Friday at 12:45. And around 12 o'clock, we're supposed to call down to the main desk and find out who the guard is that's going to be watching us in the chapel. And unfortunately, quite often, there's no one available, which means that the services have to be canceled. Now, that sounds... we've been planning this for weeks, and you can't send one person to keep watch. Well, we finally had somebody come in for the Muslim service, and since I'm not a Muslim, I didn't hang around for the service. I went out and did some of my visits, because I know most of the folks I visit with on the regular are not Muslim either, so they're not going to be there. So I went out and was visiting with my people, and as I was coming back, I was in the elevator, and I heard one of the guards say, "I can't believe they've got three pods of Muslims together in the chapel right now. And in the next hour, they're going to have six more. There's going to be such a horrible fight going on in there. We're going to be on high alert, and this is never going to happen again." Well, you know what? There was no fight. It was peaceful. It was calm. It went exactly the way it should have gone. But they wanted guys with shotguns sitting outside the door just in case something happened. We're looking for peace. I think that was where I was originally going. But I changed my mind. That's still important. I want to talk about cutting people's ears off. Let's see, Mark. Chapter 14. That's always been like the weirdest part of that story. That's not there. Luke 22. But this is a story that appears in all the Gospels, and there's all these times in Matthew. Hey, somebody came up and cut this guy's ear off. And in Mark, they come up and say, hey, somebody came up and cut this guy's ear off. And in Luke, they say, hey, somebody came up and cut this guy's ear off. And then John says, it was Peter. Poor Peter never gets much of a break, does he? Luke chapter 22. Here it is in Luke. When those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with a sword? And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, stop, no more of this. And he touched the ear and healed him. That's what I want to talk about. First of all, I think it's kind of screwy that the guy got his ear cut off with a sword. Can you imagine swinging a sword and just getting the ear? That was either really good or really bad. I don't know. But then there's that healing. Jesus didn't come for war. So many people were expecting the Messiah to be a military leader. I think that was one of the reasons why Judas betrayed him, was because Judas was expecting the Messiah to be this military leader. And so he understood the fact that, okay, Jesus is the Messiah, but he's not living up to my expectations. So we're just going to kind of push him into a position where he has to take some action. But here's this attack and then a healing. And I was reading a devotion the other day, and I had not really thought about this, but we're used to looking at the Lenten season as, well, maybe you look at Lent as a time of suffering. It's that time that we're getting ready for Good Friday, which is like an unpleasant holiday. And as we're preparing for that, it's dark and it's brooding, and we're kind of moping a little bit, and it feels like a season of suffering. And a lot of us may have been raised in an attitude that, oh, it's Lent, we have to suffer. We have to give up something that we love. So maybe not so much a time of suffering, but maybe a time of sacrifice, where it's not just that we're giving something up, but we're doing it in such a way that it has a positive effect. Like not just the idea of, like, probably as kids we were like, okay, I'm not going to eat chocolate during Lent. I'm not going to have candy during Lent. Something like that. I have a pastor friend who's doing that this year. He's like, he's decided he's going to give up all sweets for Lent, and he's having a hard time. It's one of the other pastors at the jail, and we were having lunch the other day, and he's like, that cake looks really good. It's like, Josh, you gave that up for Lent. Yeah, but it looks really good. But we have this idea that we're giving something up, and it's not just giving the thing up, but it's like taking something else in its place. One of the ideas oftentimes with fasting is that we replace the time that we're doing whatever that thing was with prayer. Years and years ago, I decided for Lent I was going to give up watching television. So I went 6 weeks without watching TV. And I decided I'm going to spend all the time I would be watching TV in prayer. And I was shocked at how much time I spent watching TV. And it was really hard to focus in prayer all that time in a day. For hours on end, the hours I had been wasting in front of the television, I spent with God, and it really fulfilled me and it helped me. And that leads me to what I'm going to say is Lent is really a time of healing. If we let it be. if we let it be. If we remember back the story of the man at the well, there was a crippled man who was trying to get in the water at the well of Bethesda because angels would come down and stir up the water. And when the water was bubbling and swirling, the first person in got healed from whatever was wrong with them. And there was this one man who'd been there for years and years and years. And every time the water started bubbling, he'd go to get in and somebody beat him into the water. And Jesus came to him and said, "Do you want to be well?" And we think that's a silly question. But do you want to be well? Well, here's an opportunity for us to be well. Because let's face it, the things that we give up for Lent are usually things that we're better off without, right? I'm better off not watching TV. My friend Josh is better off not eating cake. We're probably all better off not eating chocolate, although chocolate's wonderful. But it's usually something that we're better off without anyway. And then come Easter, we gorge on it. Don't we? You know, we gave up chocolate, but, you know, hey, it's Easter. I got a basket full of candy. How fast can I consume this? And then, of course, the day after Easter is National Half-Price Candy Sale. National Half-Price Candy Day. Everything's half-price at the grocery store. All the stuff in the festive springtime Easter wrappings. We have worked so hard for 6 weeks to do away with that thing that we really didn't need. And then we're done giving up on that. I had a boss years and years ago who, she was a functional alcoholic. And every year at Lent, she gave up drinking. Except for St. Patrick's Day. Because she was also Irish. But after that, it's back to the old ways. We have this opportunity to heal. We have this opportunity to change. I know we're a couple weeks into Lent already. But I'm going to ask you each to sometime during this week, think about what needs to be healed in you. What is it in your heart that needs to be healed? And pray for that healing. I've been working for some time on trying to be healed myself. I have a particular issue. I know I've, you know, spoken a few times about the fact that, many years ago now, my son Kenny tried to commit suicide. And I remember that day, for some reason, I was up really late. And there was a knock at the front door around midnight. And we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Nobody knocks on our door, let alone at midnight. And I go and open the door, and there's a couple police officers there who were looking for Kenny. Because they'd gotten a call that he had overdosed on his medication. So we ended up getting him to the hospital. He's all right. But that did something to me. that has caused me grief and caused me trauma. For years, every night I would wake up with nightmares until I finally found out there was a medication you could take for that. I've decided to try getting off that medication. As important as medication is for us, I don't advocate anybody changing their own medications on their own, but I'm ready to see if I'm ready to go off of this because it's something I shouldn't be on for my whole life. I should get better. I'm never going to get over it. I understand that, but I should get better. And I've been working to get better, and I've decided to spend more and more time, especially in this season, trying to get better. I can't look at a police officer without my blood pressure going up and starting to panic. I don't have trouble in the jail because those guys aren't really police. But anytime I'm driving down the street and I see a police car, I start to shake. Because I remember what happened. And I need to be well. I need to be able to function. And it's taken me a long time to be able to say that. It's taken me a long time to say, yes, I want to be well, and mean it. I guess that's not such a foolish question after all. But where in your life do you need healing? I'll ask you to look for that. If you need to spend time in prayer asking God to open your eyes and show you where it is that you need to be healed, He'll help you. And then decide that you need to be healed. Decide that you want to be healed and pray for that, and He will be there with you. Lent is a season of change. We're moving from winter into spring. The whole world is changing around us. The whole world is getting better. I think we all like warmer weather better than colder weather, right? We all like that little extra sunshine, don't we? The world, weather-wise, is getting better. It's our opportunity to get better as well. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License.
If you'd like to contact Colin, please feel free to email colinroberts412@gmail.com.
By the loving heart, yes, by the loving heart, Lord, give us a loving heart to do your
service may now begin. As we go from this place, let us go seeking healing. Whatever that may look like, I will pray for you as you go, that you find it, that you find what needs to be healed, and that you find that healing. Or at least let us all begin our journey. Amen.